Certainly startling numbers in the marketplace, and nothing the Federal Reserve, the Treasury Secretary, or central banks around the world do, nothing they do seems to be stabilizing the situation. We're turning now to David Weiss, the chief economist for Standard & Poor's. He's joining us now for his take. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So our market analyst just 2 minutes ago called this a classic panic phase. You agree?
Oh, definitely. There's pure panic going on. We've dropped now, 21% in 7 days? That's about as close to panic as I've seen, certainly since 1987.
And it's also been described as a slow-motion crash. Is that accurate?
Not sure it's all that slow-motion anymore. It's been gathering speed for a while now.
Okay, so essentially, the market has reacted badly to the U.S.'s attempt at a bailout, to the U.S.'s talk about taking ownership in banks, and to interest rate cuts that were unprecedentedly coordinated worldwide. Why is there so much fear when action is being taken?
Well, these phases of a cycle, just panic sets in. People want out at any cost. They've seen their 401k plan go down. They say, look, I got to move this into cash before I lose everything. And I think that's the psychology right now. It looks to me like most of this is coming from individual investors trying to pull out of the market more than it is from the professionals.
So what is the Treasury or the Feds or any of the international bodies? What do they do? Is there anything left in their toolkit?
They're running out of tools. Obviously, you can cut rates again, but the last time that didn't do much. I think you will see some injection of liquidity into the banks to try to get credit markets moving again. But I've just never seen a time when not just are we seeing the crash in the stock market, but we're also seeing this total lockup in credit markets.
David, is it possible that one of the things driving this, you mentioned that it's individual investors now, and it's estimated, I think, individual investors represent about 50% of the U.S. stock markets. Is it possible that some of the volatility is accounted for by the fact that there are all these financial channels and there's people just sitting there watching these things go down and maybe listening on the radio and maybe going onto the internet, and that when people act, it's like pretty enormous, and it's easier to get people into a panic mode with all these financial channels?
I think you're underestimating the amount that's individual stock, for one thing, because the 50% is just direct ownership. What's really happening now is people selling off mutual funds.
Right.
And the mutual funds then having to sell stock in order to redeem those. And I think that's about 80% of the market. The rest of it's professionally managed stuff. I think people are watching this. The most dangerous thing for your health is to watch too much television, and I think that's true of your financial health as well.
Well, let me ask you this, and this may be a simplistic question, but if the problem is the banks won't lend to each other, then why hasn't the actions taken to assure the markets or to ensure those transactions in a way that there's a backstop?
Well, because they're not sure where the backstop is. We've got the TARP in place, but it hasn't really been used yet. They don't know exactly what that's going to do. I think the inconsistency in, first rescuing Bear Stearns, then not rescuing Lehman, and then rescuing AIG confused the market, so they're not sure who's safe and who's not safe. So I think people are just playing nervous, and they just don't want to lend to anybody because they're scared of losing money. People want the money under their bed where it's safe.
Well, talk about nervous. I heard brokers yesterday speaking publicly about and calling for the federal government to come in and buy stock futures to support this market. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Certainly, we've never done that. We probably need legislation in order to do it.
Do you think it would help? Would it help?
I doubt it. I think people would see it as a sign of panic, too. I think at this point, almost nothing's going to help because people are just playing scared. Until the market turns around, they're not going to believe it.
Let's look forward to today. Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson is meeting with European finance ministers. What do you think that meeting's going to be like? And is there anything that they can come out and say you think will turn the tide in any way?
I just don't know what it would be. They've tried a coordinated rate cut. What's needed is more coordination in how you do these rescues. I don't think you can do that over the weekend. Maybe we'll see some announcement of that over the weekend. We do have a 3-day weekend coming up. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but it gives an extra day.
Well, we'll certainly see. David Weiss, thanks as always.
David, would you call this anything besides a crisis? I hate to interrupt you here before we go. We're looking for a new name here, Crisis Meltdown.
This is an old name, Panic.
David Weiss,
tried and true.
Chief Economist for Standards & Poor's. Hope you have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Panic works.
Stick with the old stuff. We don't need a new name, he says, right?
Yeah, we already did our Don't Panic segment this week, so I guess it's too late for that.
Yeah, but we want to know what you're going to call this. 877-8-MY-TAKE.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.